Friday and for Saturday.
Log Talk Radio.
Highs in the mid-50s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned, because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. It's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. So great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Thank you. We got a great lineup for you today. You know, when we think about this, I was just talking to my featured guest today a little bit before the show, Tayana Lee McQuiller, and I was talking with her. We're going to be talking about the book, Astrology for Mystics. This is a book that explores the 4th, 8th, and 12th house, and this is exciting. But what's the question mark? We were just chit-chatting a little bit before at the show, and Benny, one of the things that she asked was, how you doing? And I said, you know, whatever is going on in the houses, wherever they are, whatever movement, whatever alignment, it really is good. And I thought about the answer to that, and we're going to dive deeper into it today. And I think about this a lot. I think about, what if you've gone through a life not so fancy? What if you had a life that probably challenged you beyond the point of anything you thought you can return back from? You know, what if you had ups and downs and sideways and just swirling around, spiraling up and down? What if your life was more like a roller coaster ride than a slide and glide? Do you think maybe some things lined up exactly the way they were supposed to, exactly at the depth they were supposed to build up whatever muscle you were going to need down the road, as my mama used to say? And today, in this incredible book, and I want to thank you again for this, you know, our friends at Inner Tradition, thank you so much, Manzanita, thank you for this book. And today, Astrology for Mystics. Now, for those of you that say, I'm not a mystic. Somebody said to me not too long ago, Pat, you keep saying we're all mystics. I'm not a mystic. I'm a mistake. And I'm like, oh, no, I don't even know what to do with that. But today, we're going to take a look at this. I want to tell you a little bit about my fabulous guest today, tarot reader, researcher of religion, esoteric mysticism, the author of several books, and today bringing to the forefront the deep dive, as I like to say, to look at the depths of the water houses in your natal chart. Tayana, great to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.
So somebody said to me, I want to start out with a little question, right? But I want to give you a framework for it. Someone said to me not too long ago, I can't remember exactly how they phrased it, but they were talking about the fact that when they look at a chart and they look at the solar return, they see different things in it, but rarely do we talk about where things land in the houses. Rarely do we say, oh, my moon is in Capricorn, and but we don't say. So tell me from your perspective the importance to understand astrology at this level, right, just to get you to understand how the dynamics of houses work. Tell us about this from your perspective.
Well, you have, for those that are listening, so the zodiac is like a pie, and it's divided into 12 slices, right? And those slices are called houses. okay? And each house represents different areas of your life. And so there can be different zodiac signs in those houses and different planets in those houses. So the house itself will have a particular meaning or a fixed meaning, but a particular zodiac sign or planet can change the energy of that house, okay? So, for example, you may have an apartment or a house or something, and it's yours, right? It has your things in it, your energy in it. But let's say, you have a house guest, right? There are some house guests that are going to bring a totally different energy to your home when they come and visit, right? Your mom versus your friend versus your eccentric coworker or whatever. Even though it's your stuff in your house and it has that particular meaning to you, there are other entities that can come into your space and change that space or the energy of that space, how you communicate in that space, right? That's why certain people you don't want in your house, right?
That's right.
Meet them somewhere else. Can we meet this person at Starbucks? I don't want their vibe in the house, okay? Or if you want to separate that energy. So at any rate, to answer your question, to understand it at that level is kind of narrowing things down, okay? We're talking about a fixed meaning, but we're personalizing it more. How does this particular planet or sign affect your experience? Not everybody, okay? And that's what this book is all about.
Yeah, and I love the way you just described that because, you know, this is really kind of cool that we can break this down so that we understand, you know, what it has to do with a life path, what it has to do with the decisions and choices we make, right? And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, when you say, oh, man, I'm going to have a party at my house, you know, do you go through your list and say, let me ask the people that caused me the most angst and anxiety, let me have them go to the top of the list? We don't do that, right?
Right.
But even with that, you know, this particular book takes a look at water houses, and in particular in the natal chart. Tell us about water houses, because there may be some people that get a sense of this, but tell us about these houses, and let's take a look at what each of them means.
Okay, so again, now we're going back to that pie chart, right?
Yeah.
So you have those 12 slices. Four of those slices are going to be under the domain of earth, four under air, four under water, and four under fire. So my book is only talking about the fourth house, the eighth house, and the 12th house, right? So those are the water houses that's under the domain of Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. So you have the fourth house, which is all things related, what I call goddess related, okay? Your spiritual foundation. Possibly, you know, information about, you know, your mother, your spiritual temperament, okay, whether you'd be more inclined to be more conventional or more eccentric, okay,
mm-hmm.
Your connection to the land, your connection to your ancestors, okay, and then you have the eighth house, which is the house of transformation, and that's key because you need to know how you deal with change. Everybody's different. Some people can go through something and they just snap right back, right? And then some people, it takes years, if ever, to get over something, okay? So you need to know how you deal with transitions, how you deal with beginnings and endings, in my opinion, in order to also pace yourself spiritually. But anyway, I don't want to get too far. So that's that house. Your interest in the occult or lack of interest in the occult can be seen in that house as well. Then you have the 12th house, which is your house of service, which is the house that represents what needs to be sacrificed in order for you to grow spiritually. Now, in the natal chart, obviously these combinations, I mean, you know, the combinations are limitless, right? In terms of, you know, that's what makes all of us very, very special. It's not just a fingerprint. Our natal charts are really unique. I don't care how similar, you know, two people's charts can be. You will have something that is unique to yourself. So that those are the houses, and you know, obviously those things are important to know in order to grow. You know, you want to know how you deal with transformation. You want to know your temperament. You want to know what you need to do in order to get to the next level if you are a mystic or you consider yourself a mystic.
Yeah. And you know, I love this because I've been really looking deeply into not just my natal chart, but really understanding more about exactly what you said. And looking at, you know, why in my chart do I have a whole bunch of things going on in that third quadrant, right? Why is there just a bunch of things going on in there, including my sun and my moon? And, you know, when I hear about that, I don't quite hear about it the way you're talking about it, because I really love the idea of talking about water and water signs. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about from your perspective is, here we are, right? And you don't really have to know a ton about astrology, from my opinion, to understand the book and to understand, you know, what the significance of the water houses are. But I want to ask you this question, because I'm not a person that has had a lot of experience with water. But the minute I moved to Seattle and the West Coast, I changed. And, you know, I don't know if I can explain this to you in that way, but there's something about water, and I wonder if it's because of the lack of water in my chart. I mean, the minute I stepped off the plane to go to Hawaii, my first time to Hawaii, I was different. I changed. Mm. And, you know, how do these feelings within us point us or guide us to connecting to these water houses and our life path? Because I can't imagine myself now not living by water. And I'm a girl from the Bronx. I grew up in cement. But let me just be clear. I also grew up in the part of the Bronx. People may not think about this. New York City is surrounded by water, right?
It's an island.
And I totally forget that. But talk about these water houses and the draw, the attraction, the pull. Even if we don't know what's going on, but when we read your book, we will. There's something intuitively that calls to us, isn't there?
Well, we are obviously, you know, we are formed in water. So, you know, you're going to just have, that's our first sensory experience, you know, is that sensation of being in water, of being in silence in water as well. And like I said in the book, you know, this is why, you know, billions of dollars are made by, you know, travel industries. You know, they want to recreate this relaxing, therapeutic, you know, experience for people. There's a reason why, you know, people flock to beaches and they flock to, you know, waterfalls and all these other places, okay? And I believe that it's because, you know, of this, you know, this very innate attraction that we have, and also just the knowledge that we need water. We're just completely dependent on this element for our survival and for our comfort, you know.
Yeah, and you cover that in the spiritual history of water, which I thought was brilliant. You know, if you grow up Catholic, you walk into a church and the first thing you go for is the holy water. Right? I mean, it's so natural, but we also have water. We're, as you point out in the book, we're talking about floods, and we're talking about, you know, the cleansing power of water and water spirits and goddesses. You've really brought that to the forefront. But, you know, I want to talk with you when we come back from break. In case people don't know, this is kind of cool. The element of water, about the water signs, the element of water is associated with several signs. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the signs, we're going to take a look at the houses, then we're going to get a deeper dive to look at now what. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be...
Feeling the complexity of life? Do you feel that urge to step into something greater? Tune in to Nailed It Radio, Find your simplicity within your complexity with me, life coach Carrie Nail. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com to discover what it means to use your full power to be the best version of yourself. Imagine stepping into the energy of saying yes to yourself and knowing you've nailed it. For more information about me, visit CarrieNail.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory round.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Caring for someone with a life-altering diagnosis? You are a care hero. Navigating the unfamiliar options can be overwhelming, but you are not alone. Tune in to A Cup of Comfort with me, Trish Lau, twice monthly on Transformation Talk Radio. Let me guide you through your care hero journey by providing actionable information on how to care for a loved one in need. For more information about me, visit TrishLaub.com. That's Trish Laub, L-A-U-B as in boy, .com.
Tune into the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show Heart Change Consciousness on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready to get big and live your life out loud? Tune in to Get Big Out Loud Radio, exploring life through the lens of curiosity and compassion. With me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will offer ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. If you want to get big and live your life out loud, visit me at KnutsonSpeaks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We're talking about astrology for mystics, exploring the occult depths of the water house using your natal chart with my very special guest, Tiana Lee McCliller. Can you tell folks, first of all, how they find out about you, and then how did you get a copy of this really good book, intriguing book, if I should say?
Thank you so much. The book can be purchased at innertraditions.com, the publisher, or you can find it on Amazon or your local metaphysical bookstore. You can also find me on Instagram. That's the best way. And you can find me at Tiana Lee McCliller, exactly just how it's spelled. And you can email me if you're interested in getting the reading done or interested on the Astrology for Mystics workshop. I have one coming up in July. And, you know, I can send you information and other information about my events at tlmcclellar@gmail.com.
Awesome. Thank you. And by the way, we're giving copies away of Astrology for Mystics. And Benny, let's go ahead and do one now. 1-800-930-2819. 1-800-930-2819. Thank you for joining me here today. One of the things I was referencing before the break, sort of to kick us off, is to really take a look at what many people may or may not know. And that is the part of the book where you talk about signs and houses, because, you know, we have signs, we have houses, and then there is an interaction of them. And can you talk about the significance of looking at both signs and houses. Sometimes we don't look at the houses. You know, quite a few people just say, I'm a this or I'm a that. Or, you know, here's Mercury or here's Jupiter. But we don't necessarily look at where those, where they are. Where are they placed? And what does it mean if they are placed in these water houses? So let's talk a little bit about that. And really talk about these water houses, 4th, 8th, and 12th.
Okay. That's a lot. Okay, so let me see if I can just start with the 8th house. Okay. So the 8th house, for example, is that house of transformation, like I said. So I'll use myself as an example. I have a Libra in that house of transformation. Okay, I deal with change very well. Okay, I also have Pluto in that house, but let's just stick to the Libra for now.
Yeah.
Because you broke up the sign. Okay, so I'm pretty cool with things coming to an end, as long as, you know, fairness is important to me, being treated fairly. You know, I'm really good when there's like no one's fault. Like something just has to end, whether it be like a physical death that has nothing to do with, you know, someone being murdered or something. I mean, like everything just ending at its own accord, I'm very good with that. Some people just not do the change at all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, totally.
Self is Scorpio, right, which is dealing with that transformation, which is dealing with that kind of harsh reality, right? You know, the whole stereotype of Scorpio, right? But then I have Libra superimposed on that house. So that's how I process the, you know, how I process information in terms of, you know, ending. Okay. I'm not going to like a lot of gory imagery. Libra is very, you know, they like things pretty. They like things neat, right?
Yeah.
So people might think, oh, my God, because I'm a Scorpio. And, you know, so it's like, oh, you know, you must be really into really dark, you know, gory imagery or, you know, horror movies or whatever. And that's actually not the case because of the Libra, you know, in Venus, in the eighth house. I may like dark subject matter or occult subject matter, but it cannot be ugly. Like, so for example, you'll see the darkness play out. I love the Twilight Zone, for example.
See,
like a little horror.
Right.
I don't necessarily want to see somebody's kidney come out of their left ear. Okay.
Right.
So this is what I'm saying. So there might be a sign there that may be known for something, you know, a particular thing, but the sign that you have, your natal chart, that will change the energy of the house because Libra, like I said, that using my example, is going to change the energy there. So then let's say if there was a planet or a couple planets, you see what I'm saying? It's just it's out of me. You have to continue to see what gets switched on, what gets switched off, or rather I should say turned up or turned down. So there's certain things that may be in the house, you know, that let's say I had Aries in that house and then maybe I might, you know, like seeing people, you know, if their head split open and the brain falling out. Like, who knows? You know what I'm saying?
I do.
You have to look at you. You know what I'm saying? You have to pay attention to how you express in the world.
Yeah, and that's what I said to you before. When I really didn't connect to my eighth house, but I started to look at my eighth house, right? And as I was looking at my eighth house, I didn't look at it. I didn't look at the what was going on in there from an eighth house perspective. But when I look at it now, and I say, what is in that eighth house, right? And I look at Mercury, the planet, Capricorn, the sign, sitting in my eighth house, then Venus, the sign Sagittarius, sitting in my eighth house. It really brings up a new interest for me, right? It isn't just Mercury, Capricorn, Venus, Sagittarius. It's now they're in my eighth house. So it calls us to look at this almost three-dimensionally, right?
Right.
That's the cool part.
Linear, right. You know, people will go online and say, okay, well, I see my natal chart, I'll have this. And they'll read the definition in blocks instead of looking at the chart holistically. Well, how does this affect this over here? You know, I mean, it's just a matter of getting more in tune because we're all very complex.
Yeah.
Okay, we may not see ourselves that way, but we are.
And you know what else? I really didn't look at this until I was reading your book. And then I all of a sudden didn't even realize I had anything in my fourth house. Just saying. I didn't even notice it. And I don't know why that is, because there's so much energy in my chart up in that top quadrant. And I just looked at this and I said, oh, wait a minute. I got something in the fourth house. I got Pluto Leo. You know, I got Pluto the planet and Leo the sign. And so I started to read in your book. But what I really did notice is you're right about this. If you stop at the sign and the planet, you're going to be missing the whole idea of the mystic interaction, I think, don't you?
Well, it's all about centralizing your narrative over whatever, you know, so-called experts, you know, are writing. Yes, learn, you know, if you like, learn, okay? Learn the conventional information. Learn the, you know, kind of generic definitions you would read about what it means to have Leo in the fourth house. Obviously, you want to start there, right? But you also, or Pluto in the fourth house as well, but you also want to do your own investigation, okay? I really want people to remember that is a key message of the book, is to take the wisdom that's out there, but to personalize it. So to figure out how this different phenomenon works for you. How does it play out in your life? So, for example, if there's a Mercury retrograde coming up, you could read your favorite astrologer's breakdown. Okay, this is how you're going to be feeling. Okay, that's their opinion. But don't start vesting that out there that's how you have that, because guess what? You may have Mercury in a particular sign, a particular place, you know what I mean? And it's going to be a totally different experience for you. That's all I'm saying. You know what I mean? And this is just never lose sight of you. Start to take, you know, have a little astrology phenomenon journal. You know, write down, okay, during eclipses in Leo, during eclipses in Virgo, whatever, you know, because Mercury especially is a good place to start, because that phenomenon, you know, it recurs like several times a year. And also lunar sign, okay? So start paying attention to what happens to you on these particular days. I just realized when the moon is in Cancer, my mother, and you know, can call me at 2:00 in the afternoon. If you really start journaling, you'll start to see some kind of pattern for you that is not true. Okay? It doesn't mean that it's garbage to read these generic definitions, because it's just a scaffold. But some people actually project their entire reality from external sources. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm trying to help people that are interested in doing. Again, this book is astrology for mystics. It's not astrology for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
For everybody is what is already out there. This is astrology for people that are interested in integrating their own life experience into the narrative that is
Yeah, we're going to talk about something really interesting, too, to really prove the point of what you just said. When we come back, I started to look at this a little bit about Sagittarius in the eighth house. And by the way, when you go through the book, it takes you beautifully through each of the signs in each of the houses, so each of the water houses. So if you look in the fourth house and you see what signs in there, if you look in the eighth house, which I'm in right now, I have two signs in the eighth house. How do I interpret this? When we come back, we're going to take a look at Sagittarius in the eighth house and Capricorn in the eighth house. What does that look like? What does it mean? And how is it showing up / being acknowledged right now? We're going to take a look at this, everybody. Let's take a short break. Two of the books are gone. I think maybe we have one left, 1-800-930-2819. We got a lot to talk about. We'll be right back.
Patricia McNair, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia, and I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that a whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore earth guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit burnbrighttoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Transition, simultaneously the most difficult and vital part of the human experience. Without change, how would we grow? Tune in to Grounding into Your Radiance with Stacey Barber every second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Step into your truth and allow the light into your life. For more information about Stacey and her services, visit StaceyBarber.com. That's Stacey, S-T-A-C-I-E, Barber.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Everybody, Tiana Lee McQuiller joining me here today. Fabulous book, Astrology for Mystics, Exploring the Occult Depths of the Water Houses in Your Natal Chart. And we've been talking about what the water houses mean. But what happens if you find yourself looking at your chart and, you know, and you're looking and you're thinking, well, they just talked to me about this fourth house and they're telling me that that fourth house is, all right, well, wait a minute, that's one of those water houses. And then you take a look and you say, well, wait a minute, I got something going on in my fourth house. Or you take a look at some of the other ones. You took a look at the eighth house and you say, well, I've got something going on there. What Tiana does in the book is she invites you to look at each of the signs that you're interested in, right, on your chart and say, what does this look like? And we're going to just use an example, just a random example. We're just going to take a look at, in the book, she talks about, I relate to this, talks about Sagittarius in the eighth house. So we're just going to look at that for a minute. And what happens in the book, you get to take a peek at how you are relating to sexual intimacy, self-image, what your secret power is. And then what about transformation and endings? And so when you take a look at each of these signs and where they land in your chart, there's a beautiful, beautiful description of them. If you look at Capricorn, for example, in the eighth house, you'll get a description and you'll get an idea of this. And this is so important. Now, let me just say this. If you don't have a sign like in one of these water houses, you just don't have a sign. Like I don't have anything in my 12th house.
You mean a planet?
Yeah.
You just have a sign.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No sign.
But either.
Yeah. But this is, you laid this out so that people can really look at a dynamic that's going on and ask themselves, how do I relate to that? Right? So if I look at Capricorn in the eighth house and I'm reading about what it says, right? It's fascinating. Can I read from your book?
Please.
Okay. Sexual intimacy. Many eighth house Capricorns immensely enjoy some form of bondage or domination. It's not uncommon for them to enjoy being in control in the bedroom. Find a discreet lover who you feel safe with to explore possibilities. People with this placement are focused, devoted, and passionate. It would be wise for those with Capricorn in the eighth house to break up with people they're dating if they prove to be flaky or unreliable. You like to be organized and appreciate people who keep their word, so ignoring red flags will only end in frustration and inevitably separation anyway. That is a lot of information. And it really is so, you know, poignant to help people understand this, right? I was really struck by the secret power. And I love that you include these secret powers, right? Tell us a little bit about the secret power in all of these descriptions that you put in.
Well, there are certain, you know, capabilities that we all have. I think that people underestimate that power in general, and that's why I wanted to include this, because there are certain, I mean, this is all just alchemy, right? Air, earth, fire, and water, and how these different elements, you know, mix and mingle in order to make us all unique, and that's what the native chart is all about. So you have, depending on our alchemical combination, right, you will have most likely certain capabilities over others, okay? And that's why I decided to include that in the book, just playing with the different combinations and what that could possibly mean. Again, the book is just a scaffold for your own consideration. You may see yourself, a lot of people do, see themselves in these descriptions. But again, you also have to take a look at the entire chart and how these things relate to your own life experiences. So let's say, yeah, you may have a propensity if you have Capricorn in the eighth house for bondage and domination, but wonder if you were sexually assaulted 10 years ago, okay? Or you, again, you cannot take away a person's life experience, okay? It's nature and nurture that create who we, you know, who we are and how we perceive reality, okay? So then somebody may look at the book and say, well, hell, I don't like that stuff, okay? But maybe they are not taking into consideration that time they saw, you know, their mother's boyfriend slap her upside the head or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
So these things can get turned up, they can get turned down, depending also on our narrative. Again, it's all, we can never remove ourselves. And what we see, heard, smell, tasted, and experience, we just cannot.
Yeah, and I love that you've included this part about the secret power. And, you know, it's really fun. When I first read this, and I'll read it out loud if I can. People with Capricorn eighth house are much more comfortable with dark side than most. Their own dark tendencies in the darker parts of the supernatural world, and the world. They are also extremely talented when it comes to creating rituals and initiation procedures. And, you know, I read that, and I really thought, okay, that's really interesting. Because for me, as a very young child, I have been fascinated with the supernatural. I've been fascinated with, you know, things that most people wouldn't be interested in at a very young age. Anytime that I hear that there's going to be a new Godzilla movie, I'm like, I cannot wait to watch that. I mean, even if it's like hokey Godzilla versus King Kong. X-Files. I don't think I've ever missed an episode of the X-Files. And, you know, it's fascinating when I'm reading this and I think back upon that. And something interesting. If I am having a really busy day or really busy week or doing a lot of calls or doing a lot of shows, when I go to take a little breath and watch television, I'm not going to tune in to Family Feud. That wouldn't be my first go-to. It would be look at something that is going to take me to another dimension, right? It's going to really take me to a more esoteric or mystical place. And that, to me, quiets my mind more than anything. But I will tell you, I'm like you. I'm not up to slasher movies. I'm just like, even some of the TV series that are on right now, they got to be a little bit too much for me. But again, this is what you've done here, is you've given people something beautiful to really look at. When we come back, I want to talk about the 12th house. I want to talk about the 12th house because there is much that has been said about the 12th house esoterically, and there is much that hasn't been said about the 12th house. And why do some people think the 12th house is perhaps one of the more powerful sneak peeks into your destiny? Let's take a short break. I'm not saying that. I want to hear what Tiana says when we come back.
Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformation, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Creating and living the upturn way, soul designed for self-enlightenment and self-healing. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio the second and the fourth Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with me, Vivian Chauvet. As we transcend the third dimensional plane of reality, we move into higher realms of existence. Let us reclaim our sovereignty as divine essence of light and unite our voices to successfully manifest ascension on Earth. For information on our services, Copper Art Store, and to connect with me, visit infinitehealingfromthestars.com. That is infinitehealingfromthestars.com. Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio with me, Vivian Chauvet.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join Dr. Pat Basile in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
What we've been taught and told is not all there is. Life is all about energy, and the energy you feel is real. Tune into the energy paradigm each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com with Dr. Vic. The energy paradigm is an eye-opening, mind-shifting, transformative, and earth-shattering way to live, work, and do business that will enable you to unlock your magic every day. Visit TheEnergyParadigm.com.
Join the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
I was so depressed when I was a kid. I love that sad, ridiculously sad song. Benny, where'd you dig that up from?
Way deep, Pat, way deep. A lot of records to shuffle
through. Woo! Oh, my gosh. That is like, you gave me like a super flashback to my first love. Oh, my God, that puppy love thing with that song, what a heartbreaker. Oh, my gosh. But, you know, that's another show. Today, Diana Lee McQuiller is joining me here today, and thank you so much for the books and giving those out. Thank you, Mens and Nita, for that. Tell people how they can find out about you, how they can work with you, how they can find out more about the impact of these water houses.
Okay, so you can find the book at innertraditions.com, or you can find it on Amazon, or you can find it at your local metaphysical bookstore. You can communicate with me on Instagram, or follow me on Instagram at Diana Lee McQuiller, or if you're interested in a tarot reading or workshops related to astrology mystics or the Who Tarot, any of my other projects, just contact me at tlmcquillar@gmail.com.
Awesome. You know, we've been talking about the fourth, we've been talking about, but, you know, I want to jump over to the 12th for a minute. And the reason I want to jump over to the 12th is because I think it's one of the most misunderstood and least talked about houses. And yet people have said it's one of the more powerful houses. I would like your perspective on what goes on in the 12th house.
It's basically what you need to sacrifice in order to grow spiritually. That's why it's known as the house of loss. Okay, you can see it as the house of loss, okay, depending on how you deal with change, if you're analytical, okay, if you're prone to self-examination. If you are, then possibly won't be as painful because you're accustomed to kind of looking at yourself from, you know, a bird's eye view, okay. And if you're not, then change tends to be a little bit harder, right? When you realize that there's certain things about your behavior that is problematic or things that, you know, you need to change, that can be a great loss if you are addicted to your own personality, if you always consider yourself correct, okay? So that's basically what's going on in the 12th house, okay? You're also dealing with secrets. You're also dealing with limitations, okay? And also psychic ability, okay? It's sort of like unlocking, like if anybody's played Super Mario or, you know, the video game, you know, there's certain boards, you know, you can go to certain boards and you unlock a secret power, okay? But it took sacrifice in order to unlock that power. You probably had to battle a million different little minions, you know, you had to go through this dangerous board, you know, for my gamers out there, right? But you made it through, and you sacrificed, right? Sometimes you have to give up the powers that you had, and you have to go, especially with Super Mario, right? You have to go without that power. You have to be small. But it's just a matter of it can be done, okay? And once you have made that sacrifice, once you have gone through whatever that trial is, once you have altered your behavior in order to make that work, right? You have to time your jump or whatever is required, using that video game analogy again, you have to time things correctly, or it's not going to happen, okay? Or you have to do something in terms of the behavior, okay? Or you have to hold the controller a certain way. It's no different, okay, in that way. And once you do it, you get rewarded, okay? You get rewarded, and that is kind of telling you what you need to sacrifice. in order to get that Scooby snack at the end.
Yes.
So for me, I have no planets in the 12th house. I have Aquarius in the 12th house, okay? So I needed for me to go spiritually to not care if people thought that I was strange, that they thought I was batshit crazy. I needed to get over that fear, okay? I needed to get over the anxiety, the crippling anxiety related to that, okay? I just got there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Okay, where I was completely, and I mean, I've always been cool. I've always been a very spiritual person, even as a little girl. Okay, and I talked about that on Instagram. Okay, but just getting to the point where I really, really don't care how I am perceived by other people, okay? I focus on the people that get it. I focus on my supporters. I focus on people that resonate with me. And I just don't think about those other people anymore. That took years of work.
Yeah.
And that's what the soft house is talking about.
Man, that does take years of work. And, you know, I was looking at this as you were speaking, and I was thinking, you asked me about the 12th house and my solar return. And as you were speaking about this, I was thinking about this unconscious level that goes on in the 12th house. There are things that we've probably been carrying all of our life, like you just described. And yet sometimes it's time. And when the time comes to really face those things and look at them, it is really pivotal. You know, some people call them tipping points, but it's also, as I hear you speak about it, this is a pathway to freedom for you. And when I looked at, you know, your book, and I did look at Jupiter in my 12th house, really prominent in my solar return, like seriously a big thing. I didn't understand it until I read your book and said to myself, wow, that makes sense to me now. You know, this makes sense to me, right, about what's going on as I see the year progress and where I am and what things are influencing me and what things I need to release because mm-hmm. we are all under psychological stress. And, you know, for me, I realized that if I have that in this house, it's not going to go well. So mm-hmm. I have to figure out a way to de-stress, and I've done that, right? But boy, I want to talk to you. This is a journey. You know, figuring this out is a journey, but the way you describe the impact for yourself, once you discovered that, that had to be freeing for you.
Well, I've always been considered eccentric, right, or weird, depending on the person, okay? These different factors, there are many different factors that contribute to how people perceive you, right? I never had a self-esteem issue as a result of people finding me weird. That's just not me, okay? I was always cool with Tiana. People just weren't cool with Tiana at certain points, and I was okay with them not being cool. Why? Because I'm an introvert. So my personality as an introvert protected me from feeling like, oh, I can't share in all the reindeer dances. I never cared, okay? Never cared. I never wanted to do projects, you know. For those that do Myers-Briggs, I'm an INTJ. I really don't care about belonging, but I still have to exist in the world. I still have to eat. Okay, so I do have to care about what people think of me to a certain extent, but it's hard when you process information much differently than other people because the whole day becomes a facade, okay? And if you have to work for a living, I was not born with a trust fund or any of this other tools. So that means I would have to be out in the world in order to eat, in order to keep a food, or, you know, a roof over my head. So that became a source of anxiety. It's like, okay, I don't care that these people find me weird, but I have to care about what they think to a certain extent that I have to survive in this world.
That's right.
Okay? But then, like you said, so that creates anxiety in and of itself, not the self-esteem issue, but just, God damn it, I have to make money, okay? So that integration, that really doing the work with the 12th house, it finally clicked, and I broke through, and now I don't care, and I'm happy.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I spent a lot of time looking at this a lot closer, right? Because every time I take a sneak peek, I get a little bit more information about it and, you know, the sense-making part of it. And you're right, even though you may have some things going on, we're human beings. you know, we got to get up, we got to take a shower, we got to go do whatever we're doing, and we got to make things happen in the outer world. And I want to thank you for taking, you know, some beautiful, beautiful esoteric ideas and bringing it down so we can understand it in our everyday lives. Thank you so much. One more time, how do we find out about you? How do we get a copy of your book?
Okay, so you can get a copy of the book at innertraditions.com, or you can go to Amazon or your local bookseller. You also can reach me or read my post, follow me on Instagram at Tiana Lee Mosoar. And you, for readings or information about workshops, reach me at TLMCQUILLAR@gmail.com.
I'd love to know your personal message. What would you like to leave us with today?
Just remember that mystics are not these peripheral characters, okay? Mystics are the center of every religious and spiritual system in the world, no matter what their race, what the continent, whatever, okay? It had to be someone that considered these things first before they were codified. That is what this is about. This book is for you. It is for you to analyze yourself in relation to the stars. Listen to the experts, but don't ever forget to consult people.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good sunny Wednesday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update. Around the south, starting things off over on, looks like, I-5 southbound already. Just a small little stop-and-go issue there just south of Roanoke Street and the 520. But everywhere else, traffic's actually looking pretty good. Enjoy your beautiful sunny Wednesday. Get out there and enjoy it. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network to Dr. Pat Show, Talk Radio to Thrive By, and Climate Shock. Your special guest, Dr. Stephanie Mines.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. More eyewitnesses to the scene of George Floyd's death are testifying today in the trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin. Floyd was arrested after trying to pay for a purchase with what appeared to be a counterfeit $20 bill. Christopher Martin was working at Cup Foods at the time.
When I saw the bill, I noticed that it had a blue pigment to it, kind of how a $100 bill had, and I found that odd, so I assumed that it was fake.
While Floyd was taken into custody, Chauvin put his knee on the man's neck for more than 9 minutes, and he died. The massive infrastructure plan President Biden will outline this afternoon in Pittsburgh indicates investments in thousands of public and private projects. Correspondent Tracy Potts reports.
The cost, $2 trillion, paid for by raising corporate taxes to 28% over the next 15 years.
The plan aims $650 billion at roads, rail, and transport. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is blocking the governor's mask mandate because it was not approved by the state legislature. In a 4-3 decision, conservative justices declared Democratic Governor Tony Evers exceeded his authority by issuing multiple emergency declarations, including the statewide mask mandate. That's the kind of news CDC Director Rochelle Walensky doesn't want to hear. She insists public health guidelines on face masks and social distancing should not be relaxed at this time.
This is a critical moment in our fight against the pandemic. As we see increases in cases, we can't afford to let our guards down.
The Biden administration is racing to make coronavirus vaccines more widely available, but is concerned over a new uptick in COVID cases and hospitalizations. The South could see more tornadoes today. A large storm system could bring twisters and flash flooding to the South and a wintry blast to the North. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Need a break from the sound bites and the talking heads? Do you want information you can actually use? Information that'll change your life for the better? Then listen to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Del will show you how to retire in 2 to 5 years. Your age doesn't matter. Turn off the pundits and turn on the passive income. Tune in to the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Tune in every Monday at 8 a.m., Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 5 p.m., and Thursdays at noon, right here on KKNW.
And let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather outlook for Wednesday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies again today. High temperatures not looking too bad, around 59, 60 degrees in selected areas. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies with a few clear breaks. Low temperatures down to about 42, 41. Thursday, probably sunny skies with increasing clouds. High temperatures around 57, 58. Thursday night, clouds with a slight chance of rain. Lows down to about 41, 42. Friday and for Saturday, mostly cloudy skies and sunbreaks. Highs in the mid-50s.
Feelings of disconnect are the cause of an ever-surging mental health crisis. Many of us feel apathetic about ourselves, our work, home, and relationships. We don't know how to re-engage. I'm Greg Kuiper of Kuiper Counseling. At the Root focuses on emotional connection and how awareness is at the root of building healthy relationships with self and others. Join me weekly to re-engage with both. At the Root airs Mondays at 3:30 p.m. here on KKNW. Subscribe to the podcast or go to KuiperCounseling.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody, welcome. Welcome to the show. It's so great to have all of you tune us in, turn us on. And for those of you that have been listening through the prior hour, welcome back. Hi, Mr. Benny. Hi, Jacob.
Hi, hi, Pat.
How's everybody doing today?
Hey, I'm good.
Yeah.
Yep,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah, we're going to talk about something really interesting. Dr. Stephanie Mines.
Other than us?
You know, you guys are interesting,
Pat,
too. Super, like...
That's okay. We know who you're going to talk to today.
Oh, my gosh. It is fascinating.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Still wondered what you did to my goldfish, Benny.
I didn't do it. It was me. It was not me.
Okay. All right. I have dreams about the goldfish, just saying. Probably going to have to go to a past life regression.
So too.
Oh, my gosh. You know, look, there are things that happen in our lives, and we may or may not pay attention to them. Have you heard the term climate shock? Have you heard that term? What climate shock is? Are you prepared for climate shock? How does it happen? And what does it mean? And what does it do to cause early trauma? You know, our nervous system is this incredible, oh my gosh, you know, this incredible interconnection of miraculous, miraculous endings. So sensitive, yet so demanding at times. So beautifully transparent, and yet so unbelievably complicated. But what happens to that nervous system when it gets a signal, when it has an old coping mechanism that may or may not work? You know, what happens when environmental episodes occur in our lives? And I know that you want to know, what does Pat mean by that? What are we talking about? That's why Dr. Stephanie Mines is here today. I've had her on the show before. You know her as the author of several books, and she has reflected in life, and she's reflected in what affects people over decades as a neuroscientist. She has investigated shock and trauma as a survivor, and this is what we don't talk about. We did a show about shock and how we think perhaps a few hours of therapy to take care of PTSD is going to obliterate whatever shock happened that's embedded in our cells, in our bodies. We've talked about that. But what happens when we're looking at systemic events in our life? What happens when we look at this idea of climate change and consciousness? How can we look at it to facilitate this beautiful web of movement and exchange and transformation? How do we do that, and what is it? Today, it's all about what our nervous system tweaks, what our nervous system touches, and every one of us knows exactly what I mean if I don't really talk about the physiology of it. Today, get ready to learn so much about something you may have been involved in, but you may not know it. Thank you, Dr. Stephanie, for joining me here today.
Oh, it's such a delight to be here with you and your team.
They're great.
They are great. I have stuff I want to talk to them about.
I got a great team. I tell you, you know, people always ask me about, how did you do this? How did you go from this? Why? They always ask me about that. And I said, you know, once upon a time, it used to be just me. And I was going nowhere as it being just me. Then it was me and Benny. I was like 17 years ago. But the minute I realized that I was never going to achieve what I wanted to achieve to help people in the world by myself, I realized you got to take the leap of faith, take the risk, and jump out, right? And I've had a bunch of angels along the way. But I've also had traumatic experiences in my life, and I really wasn't aware of the impact of them till our first interview we did. So today we're talking about climate shock. And many people are saying, what is that? What does that mean? I don't think that's happened to me. Let's take a deeper dive into what that is and what you've discovered about it, Dr. Stephanie.
Before we do that,
sure.
I would like to take the fear out of the conversation.
Yeah.
I would like to introduce a phrase like climate shock without people becoming terrified to hear the next sentence. I don't want to start with fear and dread, because that's really not what this is about. We are at a portal of humanity's transformation. And that portal, the movement through that portal, as we all know as trauma survivors, you and I, Pat,
yeah.
We know that moving through that transformative portal is a complex, multifaceted experience. But we come out on the other side almost instantaneously into an expanded state. And that's what we're all involved in now. We are at the portal of the new humanity. And this new humanity is resilient, innovative, creative, spontaneous, vital, and daring. And what does climate shock have to do with that? Climate shock, which we produced ourselves. Nobody did this to us. We created the climate emergency that is accelerating and will continue to accelerate. How is it possible to even talk about that without becoming afraid?
Yeah.
How is it possible to talk about that with our roots in the earth, our hearts wide open, our tears flowing, and our joy flowing simultaneously? That's what this is about. And I want to introduce this as an exciting, stimulating topic, not as a horribly serious, horrible, horrible mess that we're in.
And boy, that, you know, that is when I listen to you and talk about what we're about to talk about, I'm really struck by the fact that fear has never helped me move forward in a large way. You know, fear sometimes, though, for me, has got me to realize there's an action that needs to be taken. But I've never made a great decision that where fear was guiding the ship. I can't think of a single decision I've made under the realm of fear that I could sit here and say to you, oh, my gosh, what a great decision that was. You know, this is what happened. I was so scared to death and afraid, and it guided me, and I made this decision. Oh, my God, my life is so good. Never. Cannot point to a single time. But fear, though, can help with an enormous awakening.
And this is where humanity is expanding. And here's a secret that I am completely ready to blow wide open, that you will get immediately, which is that those of us who have experienced early trauma, who have experienced domestic violence, sexual assault, any form of dysfunction in our families, intergenerationally, due to natural disasters, those of us who have made our way through those experiences, we are, in many regards, the most well-prepared. We are the teachers and we are the leaders. And the other piece of this that is really right on the tip of my tongue is that it is up to us, those of us who have learned what you just described, that no transformational decisions are made from fear. We need to educate others, including healthcare professionals, of whom I am one.
Yeah.
Healthcare professionals do not listen to those of us who have experienced trauma and been transformed by the resilience that is awakened by going through that portal. And it is up to us to make healthcare professionals responsive, to help prepare us and vulnerable populations, like children and neurodiverse children, for instance.
Yeah.
It is the responsibility of healthcare professionals to help prepare humanity, the populations they serve, for this climate crisis that is accelerating.
I think it is important because, and people that have been affected by it firsthand, right? There is an experience that folks have gone through that sometimes you cannot find the words for. But it is an experience that breaks open the heart in ways you can't imagine. You know, these experiences we're talking about happen so that we can help others. We can take it to a different level, right? We can explain things perhaps in a way that hits that part of another being to say, this is for real, and this is what we can do with it, about it, right?
Let's get some definitions on the table.
Yeah.
Let's define trauma, shock, and climate shock. So trauma is a disturbing, really disabling event from which we recover. An injury, falling off your bike as a kid, perhaps breaking a bone, perhaps not being able to go to school because you're ill. These are traumas that have big impacts, but from which we recover when we have resources. Shock is of a higher order of magnitude. The recovery is much more difficult and sometimes impossible. So that would be sexual abuse at any stage in development for which resources are not made immediately available. And therefore that trauma becomes bigger than trauma without the resources being provided, and enters the category of shock. Climate shock is when the environment adds another layer to your personal history of trauma and shock. So the power goes out. The roads are frozen. You can't leave. You have no heat, and it's sub-freezing weather. Or the fires, the forest fires, are coming very close. You're going to have to evacuate. These conditions that are accelerating globally, I don't need to prove that. It's evident. Adhere to each individual's personal story. And the sum total of that combination is climate shock. So going back to my statement earlier, a statement that I'm trying to fulfill as a healthcare provider, it is up to healthcare providers to prepare their populations, those they serve, for that. As the completely incontrovertible evidence of climate crisis is finally, after decades, being accepted, healthcare must step in and fulfill the oath of responsibility.
Yeah.
And we, as trauma survivors, those of us who have made it through the portal, like what I'm trying to do in my writing and in my practice, yeah, and in the organizations that I've created, like Climate Change and Consciousness,
yeah,
need to wake people up. That's an act of love, Pat.
It is. It is an act of love because, you know, I have to tell you, as you were talking about this, let's just take a real life experience about this. If you've gone through, I'm just going to use one experience and ask you about it. If you have ever been freezing in your life, cold, beyond belief, right? And I had that experience. And you've been cold and you don't know what to do. You don't have the resources. You're shivering beyond anything you can imagine. And you don't know if it's going to end, or you don't know when it's going to end. And you try to have faith that it will. But then the next day comes, and you're colder than the day before. And you realize you don't have potable water. You're really at the basic Maslow level. And what you're saying is, as healthcare providers, we have to be able to look at that and go in and provide relief. I'm thinking about Texas right now. I'm thinking about what just happened in Texas. And, you know, it was as if it was 5 years ago and these people went through this. And I'm asking myself, who's helping those people? Yeah, they're at the Maslow level. They're at that level of shelter and food and that need. You know, they're at that level. But I think they are still in shock from something that nobody predicted would happen ever. And I'm not sure where anybody is in helping those folks.
Pat, you know, my heart is just resonating with you. I just feel your compassion as you say this. We need to take care of our people. These are the forgotten ones. You know, we have the headlines. We have whatever media attention might be on the situation briefly. What happens when all of that is gone? What happens is that the people with limited and sometimes zero resources are impacted for years, if not lifetimes, by the situation. Katrina would be an example. Who has come to provide the ongoing trauma care for those impacted by Katrina, who were abandoned, who were threatened, who lost everything that they had? This is what occurs in climate crisis, and it's happening and has been happening throughout the world. And we need to open our hearts and our minds to be of service to those damaged by these events and to prepare for the events that are coming our way. And we can do that with love. And I want to say, I know it sounds incongruous, I know it sounds paradoxical, but I want to say that we can do this with love and joy and feel a sense of fulfillment even a thrill at being able to do this together.
I bring this up because there are many things we experience, right? There are many of these events that happen, and we haven't really been given much attention to what happens to the people that go through them. And let me just give you a couple of examples. You know, if you grew up on the East Coast, one of the things that you are familiar with, just like what happened in Texas here recently, is you may have experienced, let's say, the blackout of 1965, right? You know, and people are like, well, I don't know, I wasn't around in 65. But 30 million people and 80,000 square miles of people were affected, left without electricity for 13 hours. And if you're me and you're a kid in this environment and you happen to not be in, you know, the coziness of your home and your bed, but maybe you are, it is a daunting experience. It is one of those things, and if you go back to 65, Dr. Stephanie, if you go back, we're not talking about experiences where you could pick up your cell phone and say, hey, we don't have a... No, you are literally in the dark. You are by yourself. You may not be prepared for it. You may not have the candles or the flashlights, you know. You're disconnected from the entire world, right? And you remember that experience and the events of that for your whole life. And nobody really comes in and says, how y'all doing now that the lights are on? You know, what was it like for you?
Exactly.
You know, how are you doing? What happened during that time for you?
Exactly. You know, there's an incredible book by Rebecca Solnit called A Paradise Built in Hell. And what Rebecca Solnit describes are exactly these historical events, such as the one you just referred to. And these are cataclysmic events. And what happened in these cataclysmic events that destroyed entire communities, neighborhoods, fires, floods, where people lost everything, people are on the street, is that the community came together. The community came together and people began to take care of one another. And that happened fairly recently in Puerto Rico when Hurricane Maria came through. And there's still reverberations from that, where the parteras and the curanderas, the healers that were living from traditional wisdom, came out of hiding sometimes because they had been, you know, scorned, and they began to take care of the people who were abandoned and neglected, the women who were going into labor, the elderly who were suffering from joint problems, the diabetics who couldn't get their medication. They began to tend to them using the resources that had been known for hundreds and hundreds of years that they had never forgotten and that they perpetuated. I am not in anything that I'm saying trying to discredit the incredible achievements of Western medicine, which we want to align with. And there are people in the medical professions who are doing their best to speak to the health consequences of climate change. But this has to become a broader message. And I really do believe that we, the individuals who know the value of this, have to advocate for that. And that's why I am so pleased to be here with you.
Yeah.
To talk about this.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to take a short break, Dr. Stephanie. And when we come back, we're going to fast forward to where we are now. You know, I mentioned Texas, but there are so many things we can point to. And what about what we're going through with COVID-19? Where do we put that on the scale? How do we consider that? You know, and What can we do? Dr. Stephanie Mines is going to take us and give us this idea. What is the average person? How does the average person prepare? And this is a message to parents.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that y'all are experiencing. What would you want to have? What tool, what learning, what teaching, what support would you as parents want to have to help your children address this? We're going to cover all of that when we come back. We have a giveaway for Benny right now. Energy Medicine for Pandemic Conditions. It's a handbook. When we come back, I will give that away. Dr. Stephanie, what is the best way to find out about you?
Please go to my website, www.tara-approach.org, and also Climate Change and Consciousness, which is www.cccearth.org.
You're going to take a short break. When we come back, what falls into the realm of climate shock? Does COVID-19, is that something that falls into that? When we come back, Dr. Stephanie is going to walk us through it and then tell us how we can be better prepared. Let's take a short break, Benny. Jacob, we'll be right back with the show.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Everybody, it's me, psychic medium Jamie, and me, Spirit Walker Nicole. We are so excited to introduce you to our new live call-in show called Shades of Spirit on TransformationTalkRadio.com. As we connect you with your crossover loved ones, angels, and guides, and also help you develop your own psychic and healing abilities. For more information and to book your own private experience, go to ShadesOfSpirit.com and also follow us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. Got a Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, MaryJaneMack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Hey, everybody. everybody. Welcome back. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. If you have a question for us, 1-800-930-2819. Climate shock with my very special guest, Dr. Stephanie Munns. And we're talking about climate shock. We're going to give some more examples of what this is. But ask yourself this question. If you've ever been through something like that, and we'll talk about the different types of traumas, what kind of support and help did you get? You know, what was there for you? What was it like to experience this emotional shock, right, or loss? You know, if you're somebody that has been abused, what is that like? But Dr. Stephanie, look, the elephant in the room, one of the elephants in the room, there's a couple. One of the elephants in the room is what we have gone through as a result of the spread of COVID-19 and its impact on our culture here in the United States and its impact on people. And I can't tell you how many people that I know that are close to me that could not say goodbye to their aunts, that could not say goodbye to their fathers. They could not say goodbye to another family member or a child, you know, to watch them be taken by this disease. And their own experience now is the anytime they see somebody without a mask, they just go into that state of shock again because this is very real for them. You know, the idea of not wearing a mask for people that are so close or have been affected by it is absolutely out of the realm of belief. And yet we're not done with this. We just watched this past week people just as if nothing was wrong, and now we're seeing more people on the rise. And, you know, I was asked the other day, do you think it's okay now that we don't wear our masks in the office? And I said, no. That's not okay, and we've got to follow the Washington State guidelines. I'm not sure what you believe, but I don't want to go to sleep at night thinking because I loosened up on a guideline, I got, like, you know, a bunch of staff people that are now in the hospital. So how does that fit in to what we're talking about today?
Beautiful, beautiful depiction of climate shock, actually. Because what we are truly being challenged to do is find our humanity, find our community, find the way in which we are connected and responsible for each other. And that's what Rebecca Solnit was describing in that beautiful book, Paradise Built in Hell, is there was a time when that was the first thought of people. And what I was describing in Puerto Rico also evidences that this compassion that we have, this sense of being in this together, no matter what the person looks like, no matter what their financial situation, their class situation, we are humans united in love of life. And when we lose that, when we allow a code of selfishness and greed and indulgence and entitlement to erase this soul essence of love for one another, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And that's why we now have not only the COVID pandemic, we have a pandemic of despair. We have a pandemic of mental illness, and it's affecting people and taking their lives.
Yeah.
Alongside COVID, suicide rates amongst youth are skyrocketing.
Yeah.
How do we respond to that? I respond to it as a survivor, as a healthcare professional, with a heart that opens wider because it is broken. A heart that expands, and out of that expanding heart comes resilience. And I am 100% committed to
to educating ordinary people, whatever that means, because I see everyone as extraordinary, but average people, let's say, people who are not the movie stars,
right,
who are safe in their palatial homes, people who are not the politicians who are safe in their palatial homes, with all of the protections that they need, those of us more vulnerable, more exposed, I am dedicated to educating, and by educating, I mean stimulating the inherent wisdom that lives in every human being to meet these challenges with innovation, with intelligence, with creativity and compassion.
Yeah. And, you know, what we have to really look and really open up the door to see where it is that we can do some good, too. You know, to see what can we do to really look at this period of time we've gone through. I was talking to a friend of mine, and we've noticed the rate of alcoholism in women. And, you know, we thought about, are these numbers true? You know, I mean, yes, I mean, there's consumption, but usually men take the lead. When you do studies like this and you do research like this, we usually have some information, and men are way out there, right? They are usually at the top of, yeah, I'm drinking too much, right? That's not what the research is saying now, right? The research is looking, and, you know, we're getting now new studies on this, but the research is looking, and they're saying, well, wait a minute, there's something new happening here. You know, there's something new happening here. And, you know, they're looking at the consumption, which is 3 or more days they're looking at. And they're starting to look at the percent of increase in those numbers and what do they look like. And I think we're being faced with things now that require a special kind of attention and a special kind of solution. What do you think?
I would call that a climate shock situation. I would call that research evidence of climate shock.
Yeah.
And, you know, women, for the most part, tend to be the most absorptive of the energetic conditions that pervade, that are impacting their children, that are impacting their families, that are impacting their parents. And women, I will say, this is a generalization, not always true, but frequently true, that women will internalize and serve to try to deal with the current situation. And those are the precursors to addiction, this internalization of despair, this internalization of rage. There are many conditions surrounding this pandemic that are enraging. The misinformation, disinformation that was put forth, the betrayals that we experienced that are disastrous and took thousands and thousands of lives. It's absolutely outrageous. But the resilient response does not deny that, looks at that naked truth, and comes with solutions that are collective, not just for me, not just for my family, but solutions that will be of service to the community and implement them. And education, information such as what you provide here through your radio shows, that's compassionate healthcare, informing people of potential, of possibility. I do direct education. I put into the hands of people like this pandemic resource handbook that I've provided. These are hands-on resources that I use on a daily basis. You touch without any effort, without any tapping or massaging or any skill. It's just loving touch on certain sites of the body. And this allows the nervous system, which you spoke to at the very beginning of the show, this is really all about the nervous system, the miraculous network of the nervous system, through our touch on these sites in
areas that are easily available, we remind the nervous system of its potential and its resilience. It makes the world of difference, because that calming of the nervous system, which is my expertise,
yes,
that is what allows innovation to occur.
Can you talk to the work you're doing around this? Because, you know, I'm talking about what I'm noticing. I'm talking about the studies that show information, and there's different studies, different population, but there's new information. You know, a 17% increase in women, young women and women, non-Hispanic white, meaning white women. My gosh, when did that happen, right? This increase, and yet we need to be able to reach out to people and help them. So tell us about the work that you do, because this is your field. This is what you do, and you have trained people to help. So it's almost like I want to put you all together, and I want to drop you into different places and see what people need help, right?
Well, that's what I'm doing. I'm doing my best, really, with all my heart and soul, with every moment that I can make available. I'm doing my best to train people to represent the work that I do. So through the TARA approach, which is my Facebook page, my website, through every avenue, Instagram that I can find, I make available to everyone these programs that teach us how to use our minds and our hands to bring the nervous system into harmony, into presence, to differentiate the past from the present, and step fully into the empowerment that is completely available to us now with our own bodies, with our own nervous systems, and with those in our nuclear families, and then beyond that into the community. And through climate change and consciousness, which has its own Facebook page, its own Instagram, et cetera, and website, I bring these trainings that fall under the rubric of sustainable health into the context of our climate crisis. I'm about to launch a series of programs on building resilient communities. That hasn't been posted yet. It's coming in the next few months. I will be collaborating with community builders who have already been working with sustainability, regenerative resources, to educate people at the grassroots level in building resilient communities. And then alongside that, I have my sustainable health programs at beginning and accelerating levels of development that allow people with any background to become skillful in being able to read the nervous system, intervene with the nervous system. So we have to have sustainable health practitioners in every collective, in the family, in the community, in the neighborhood, in the village, in the country. We have to have sustainable health practitioners who, when climate shock occurs, can identify it and can intervene gracefully with cultural sensitivity and respect for humanity and begin to calm the nervous system, to lessen the stress levels. When stress levels are decreased, the immune system can function optimally. So disease is very often, I don't want to be categorical, but I know that healthcare professionals will agree with me, disease is very often a response to stress.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you lessen stress, then you empower your immune system. So when people have those skills in their fingertips and in their language, which requires study, it does require an investment. It's a movement from I to we. You know, you are able to take care of yourself. Self-care is a major tool that I teach. It's the first thing I teach, self-care, because we have to be able to take care of ourselves. We have to be able to track ourselves and have resources to keep ourselves balanced so that we can perceive what others need and serve them without sacrificing ourselves. That's an art, and it is a learnable art, and it's what I teach in the TARA approach. It's what I make available through climate change and consciousness.
The numbers that are coming out right now about this, and what I want to basically say to you in looking at this, is we are now at the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, in trying to understand the impact. And I love what you're doing to prepare and to get out there, because I'm a statistician at so many levels. I'm still me, and I still love to do what I do, but I look at numbers because I've been trained to look at them. And the numbers to me are daunting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the numbers to me, that when I look at some of the numbers, I ask myself, what are we going to do to help folks as we come out of this, right? What are we going to do? Can we do more shows about that? I mean, this is me talking to myself, Dr. Stephanie. This is me asking myself, do I need to put up a separate channel just to address this, to really provide insight and information? Because when I look at the numbers, they are shocking. 58%, right? We're talking about increases in consumption of substances that are far beyond anything we've seen, including coming out of prohibition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about these increases in families where children are home, right, with folks. But the answer that they give, why are they saying they're drinking? It is stress.
Mm-hmm.
It's stress. That's the answer.
Well, I will do all the shows that you want to have me on, because I am ready, willing, and able to deliver the resources to the people who will use them.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to quote Paul Hawken, who created Project Drawdown, a brilliant approach to the climate crisis, who said that if you look at the data, which we must look at the data, we cannot deny the data, we can't be blind to the data. If you look at the data, you will go into despair because it's daunting, if not overwhelming. But if you look at the people who are really becoming creative under these circumstances, then you will be inspired. And that's where I land. I land with that. And I've landed with that throughout my entire career. As I was saying to you earlier, when you work with sexual abuse, when you work with family violence, when you work with evil, why wouldn't you become cynical about humanity?
Yeah.
I'm in the opposite camp. I don't deny the evil. I've directly experienced it. I've been beaten. I've been raped. I have those torturous experiences.
Right.
And I still land in the camp of faith in human potential.
I'm with you on that. I am unwavering in faith in humanity. There is nothing that has happened in my life, and you and I probably can sit down in parallel and talk about the abuse situations, talk about the shock and the trauma in our lives, and yet here I am, a positive show, a positive talk radio network and TV network now, positive talk, inspiring consciousness. So how? I don't know. I think an alien took over my body in 1990 and somehow helped me get rid of anything I was, I just don't have an answer for it, right? But I do point to an increase in my spiritual practice and my spiritual awakening. You know, I've had some great teachers and mentors. 10 days out in the desert, right? I couldn't even understand my name. So this is where we go. Look, we have a caller. Let's go to the phones. Let's see if we can help somebody here. Benny, who do we have?
Charlene calling in from Canada. Hey, Charlene.
Hey, Charlene.
Hi, Dr. Pat. Hi, ladies. I'm phoning to agree with you. I agree with you guys, totally.
Tell us. Tell us what you think.
I think that you should have a specific show for this because the whole world is going through this, including me. I see it everywhere. I really think that you guys can really help with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to thank you for that because I really, to tell you and Dr. Stephanie, I'm watching this and I feel helpless sometimes. I feel like, what do I do when I see binge drinking up 40% in a family with children? What do you do when, you know, narcotics consumption is, and there's a part of me that has empathy that says, yeah, these are tough times, right? Where do people go for relief? And I think, Charlene, what you're doing today is you're probably going to get both Dr. Mines and myself inspired to really look at this more closely and see what we can do because we have to do something. And by the way, it has to be a show that has people like you on it. It has to be a show that brings people that are going through this on it. It's got to be more than a radio show. It's got to be a forum. It's got to be a forum that allows people
to
come in.
It's going to be genuine. Genuine and authentic. The real deal. To heal.
It is. Yeah. And you know, that's because Dr. Stephanie and I have been through it. We've been through abuse. We've been through physical abuse, mental abuse. We've been through homelessness, right? You know, we've been through loss and losing people we love. We've been through families of addiction, you know, suicide with my mom. We've been through it. So it's hard for us not to show up with all of that, you see.
I think what Charlene is saying here is so beautiful because in the three of us, Dr. Pat and me, and Charlene, we are this trinity of compassion that we would move in this direction of wanting to offer these resources because under these climate shock conditions, our hearts ache to open further and to be resourceful, to be of service. At this, exactly what you're describing, Charlene, at this authentic grassroots level. Because as you said, Dr. Pat, so clearly, the people who are experiencing climate shock after the media leaves town for the 24 hours that they were there, those people are living with it. Even if they were interviewed, you know, sometimes there's a miraculous donation, a GoFundMe page or something, but that's not for the majority. You know, most people are left in this devastated, helpless state and so conscious of the magnitude of what has occurred and of what they have lost. And it is the obligation of me as a healthcare provider, as a trained neuroscientist who understands what's happening to the human nervous system, but I don't understand only what has happened. I understand neurologically what is possible. Yeah. I know that we can bounce back, but we need the resources.
Yeah.
We need the stimulation.
We have them.
We need the input.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, the stories that came out of Texas, you know, my friends calling me from there, talking about an $11,000 electrical bill they got, and they had no electricity. You know, at a logical sense and as a friend, I can be compassionate. But how do we help people through the pain of that? You know, how do we help them? And that's what I think Dr. Mines is talking about. She knows how to do this. Now what we have to do is we have to find a way, and we will find a way to make sure we're capturing those people that are in need and get them help. We got to get people like you help, Charlene. We've got to get people help because we've all been through this at some level. And
it's affected everyone, even if they unconsciously, like, or they will say that it hasn't, you know, like, you know, put up that brave face on or whatever. Yeah. But eventually it will get to everybody throughout the globe. It will affect everybody in one way, shape, or form. And we need to unite in order to heal.
I love that.
Well, I love that.
Charlene, you've given us our marching orders, so to speak. Charlene, thank you so much. Really, thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, amazing. I mean, she just said it. We have to unite to heal. And I think that's what you are doing. My heart hurts every day that I get a phone call from somebody that has lost a person, and they just can't. How should I say it like we'd like them to do? Snap out of it. You know, we'd like to say to you, yeah, get over it. Yeah, no, that's not something they know how to deal. That's not something they don't know how to work with. And my gosh.
That's not even good advice.
It's not good advice.
You know, that's what I would call toxic positivity, you know.
Yeah.
Put on a happy face, as Charlene was saying, you know, pretend. And they're not impacted. That's what leads to the addiction, is that imploding.
Yeah. And so, yeah, we, you know, that phrase only worked in the movie Moonstruck. So there we go with that. Thank you so much. Please let folks know how they can find out more about you. And thank you for all that you're doing.
Please reach out to me and check out the resources that I have available through both websites. They will be mirrors of one another with slightly different twists with Tara, www.tara-approach.org, focusing on the sustainable health components, and climate change and consciousness has a broader palette of resources and builds community that wants to address the climate crisis, www.ccccearth.org.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mines, for today. Dr. Stephanie Mines, thank you so much. Charlene, thank you for nailing it. We do need to prepare something here at the network, and boy, I'll tell you, it is inspiring to know that the great team of people that work here, Benny, Jacob, everybody else, you know, these are the folks that build the foundation for those of us that have the vision to step out, and all of you inspire us to do more.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers.